Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, October 21st, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hey. What an interesting day. Every day is interesting.
Melody, we live in interesting times.
Yes,
no question
do.
About it.
$12.49 on gold, up $1.30. We had a high of $12.56, but we're at $12.49. Silver up 10 at $17.62, along with platinum up 12 at $1,284. Palladium up 14 at $780. The USDX today is trading much higher, 0.32, back up over 85.33. Crude oil today bopped over 83.25. That's just cruising right along. And the paper markets today, oh, just a lot of good news for Wall Street. They loved it. It surged. And it, oh, the Dow was in a rebound. Woohoo! And it's all based on Apple and all the phones they sold. And the Dow was up 215 points. Still away from its high, 16,615. The NASDAQ up almost 2.5%, 103 at 44.19. The S&P was up 37, just about 2% at 1941. And the 10-year yield took a turnaround, 2.21%, up 0.03. So Wall Street is giddy. They've breathed a sigh of relief, and it's interesting. It's just a matter of how you look at things. And, of course, Wall Street always looks at things because China's economy expanded in the third quarter from a year earlier. However, it's still lower and not as good because the growth falls to a five-year low. And so it's, you know, it's so amazing. It's so how they spin the news and the numbers. It just keeps everybody either guessing, or it just keeps everybody feeling, keeping that confidence strong. And I spoke to someone earlier today, Al, and she told me that her financial planner said buying gold, oh, that's primitive thinking. Primitive thinking.
Yeah, I know. And it's only been, on one level, she's right. I mean, how could be dumb enough to buy something that's had value for 5,000 years? Mm. Better to buy something that's had value for a decade, perhaps, or a couple of decades. That's what makes sense. You know, you're talking about China, and they are allegedly blaming at least part of the growth on whatever's going on in China. And what really seems to happen, the market moves one direction or the other. The numbers change. And then they go looking for an excuse for those numbers to have changed.
Yeah.
All right?
What can we fit in today?
What if it went up? Well, it was because, what do we got? Any positive news? Can you find China? Okay, China made the market go up.
How can we spin
it? At another time, the market will go down, and then they'll go looking for an excuse. Well, it was because of such and such. There is not a cause and then an effect. There is an effect and then a purported cause, an effect and then a pretext. But what we try and find that cause and be sure that it's not just manipulation. Hard to do.
Yes, it's just, you know, the markets are so ridiculous. And, you know, again, they're only kept up by the Federal Reserve. And the articles are spun. You know, they spin them in order to create what, as you mentioned, a way to accommodate their rigging. And they need to find a way to accommodate their rigging. I don't know what the European markets did. I thought they were down earlier in trade today when I was up fairly. Oh, all the European markets had a basic they did a turnaround also with all the DAX was up 2%, but they've got hammered. The Germany's DAX, they've been hammered for the past 3 months. So, you know, we'll see how long their giddiness and their upticks will survive. We'll see how long it takes. But it's an election year. Anything can happen. And but it doesn't take away the fundamentals for the true economy, the real numbers, and the reality that will soon strike everyone.
Struck by reality.
Struck by reality.
I understand. It's not fun. You know, what's interesting is they spin currency and they turn and twist the numbers and the reasons and the rest of it. And with all this spinning and turning, you'd think they'd get dizzy, but it's us. We're the ones that get dizzy from all the spinning and the turning. And that, I guess, is what they want. But you just look at this, and it's difficult at times to keep a straight face. It's difficult not to roll your eyes. It's like, what the heck are these people doing?
Well, things are so good in Detroit. Detroit hopes to sell scrapped copper from public lighting operations for... They're looking for $25 million. City of Detroit plans to sell 13 million pounds of copper wire from its public lighting operation. They testified today in the bankruptcy trial that the city is budgeting for $25 million over 6 years from such a sale, but the scrapped metal could bring in about $40
million. Okay. Well, that's just like tearing your own house apart, ripping the copper. Wire and copper tubing out of your own home. I won't say it's just like it, but it certainly sounds like it. They're going, oh, whoop-de-doo, we're going to get rid of our public lighting for $25 million? I mean, that's not even really a lot of money when it comes to running a city. We're just going to rip the wires out. That I don't know. I don't know what that all means exactly, but it sounds like they're going to destroy the public lighting in Detroit, which I'm sure there will be an element that says, thank you very much. We operate so much better in the dark than we do on lighted streets.
Detroit is phasing its electricity service over to DTE Energy. So I don't know what that has to do with shutting down its public lighting operation unless DTE comes in and puts up their own. But
they're going back to candles or kerosene or something like that.
Maybe
that's what's going to happen. They'll have a street lighter coming, or he'll come by and light the little lights in the maybe gas lights, something like that. We're going back into the 18th century.
Coming to a city near you, folks.
Yeah, I know. That's the bizarre thing about this. You look at Detroit, you kind of snicker. Wait. You know, they're not the only one. They're just the first one. That's all, yeah.
Well, today Ukraine asks, we're kind of jumping all over the place today. Today Ukraine asks for $2.5 billion additional loan from EU to help deal with their crisis. And
which is? It's what's the crisis du jour? Paying for what, natural gas or something?
Well, yeah, they did make they did have negotiations. Ukraine and Russia did have negotiations. Ukraine had to go to the EU to get the final approval so that Moscow could continue to provide gas over the winter months, and they agreed on a broad thrust of a deal on Friday, and but it's still open to see how and when or how much Ukraine is going to pay. You know, the EU was there to help Ukraine. I'm not so sure the European Union Commission has been happy that they went on their own to make this arrangement with Russia. And so they will, the European Union or Commission says that the 2 billion euro loan will be evaluated with the IMF.
And that means we'll see how many people can take part of it as graft.
Mm-hmm.
That's what evaluation means. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's comical. It's absurd to sit back. Supposedly, there's some sort of a war or skirmish or something going on between the Ukraine and Russia. They're pointing guns at each other, and sometimes they're shooting each other. Right? But now they're going to play nice because it's getting cold out.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as Ukraine needs the gas and Russia needs the money, then we're going to postpone the war until probably next spring. Right? When the weather warms up, then we'll come out and start shooting each other again. We don't need the natural gas. We'll come out and start shooting each other. But in the meantime, we've got peace in the valley.
Yeah, so I think I find that interesting, and you're right. So you wonder how, it just goes to show you, these countries,
people are getting killed in a situation, fighting on two sides, and the two sides are buying and selling natural gas to each other. Huh? What does this, does this make any sense? I don't know. It's one of those things you look at and you say, oh, my God.
What's next?
What else, Melody? Oh, here's one on Ebola.
Here's something else. We're talking about Ukraine, so we'll just stay in Ukraine. Well, the U.S. is deciding to spend $357,000 on sport utility vehicles to beef up security on the border.
Sport utility?
Do you know which border? Ukraine's border.
Really?
Yes. A notice was posted announcing that $357,000 was awarded to a Ukrainian company for vehicles to be used by their state border guard service.
How come they didn't get them Corvettes?
No. It doesn't say how many vehicles are going to be purchased with the funds. They could get one.
Yeah, I know. That's what it's going to come down to.
They could pocket the rest.
Uh-huh.
The announcement states sport utility vehicles. It should imply more than one vehicle will be paid for. But
all right, so now we're up to two.
No,
we have two vehicles. Translates into about, what, $175,000 per vehicle?
Mm.
Well, we're only guessing, of course. But, I saw where there was a report that Germany was asking the Allies to come up with the money to pay the Ukraine's natural gas bill to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline. But I assumed that Allies includes the United States. And I was just curious. I was wondering if the United States was going to give money to Ukraine so Ukraine could give money to Russia while we're trying to impose sanctions on Russia to punish them for getting involved with the Ukraine. You know, when they say politics makes strange bedfellows, okay, I can work with strange. But crazy, I cannot work with. You understand? Crazy bedfellows is something that's a little bit, a little too deep for me, Melody.
Well, sorry. What's next, though?
Got one here on Ebola, our favorite subject. This is an interesting little article at Natural News. And the headline is, Ultraviolet Light Robot Kills Ebola in 2 minutes. Why doesn't every hospital have one of these?
Or how?
This says, while vaccine makers and drug companies are rushing to bring medical interventions to the market that might address the Ebola pandemic, there's already a technology available right now that can kill Ebola in less than 2 minutes in hospitals, quarantine centers, commercial offices, and even public schools. It's called the Xenex Germ Zapping Robot. Silly name, but that's the name they have in this article. It uses pulsed xenon-generated ultraviolet light to achieve what the company calls the advanced environmental cleaning of healthcare facilities. Because ultraviolet light destroys the integrity of the RNA that viruses are made of, it renders viruses dead. All right, in like 2 minutes, you make one of these robots. Maybe you've seen the advertisements for the Roomba, which will go clean your house and whatever. Well, these robots, apparently, you just program and it'll go down the hall and bang, bang, bang. It'll snap off shots of ultraviolet light every so often. And in theory, this will zap whatever viruses might be on the walls or on the floor or any of the surfaces of the hospital. Now, in theory, you could probably, assuming this technology is valid, and I'm guessing from the report, you know, the report presents this as valid, and they probably know what they're talking about. You could take one of these to the apartment, for example, where Eric Duncan was, and move through the apartment, bang, 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 give a two-minute dose to every room of this ultraviolet radiation, and in theory, you could be knocking out the whatever Ebola viruses might be laying on the floor, laying on the carpet, laying on the ceiling, whatever. In theory, you could clean them out like that. And it is interesting if the technology is valid and Ebola is really susceptible to ultraviolet light, it indicates the sunlight. Right now, it's not going to do anything, do you any good if you've already ingested Ebola and it's in your digestive tract. But nevertheless, you know, pretty interesting. Ultraviolet light.
So every household could have one? I wonder if it zaps any other
viruses. Well, it says, and presumably it'll get any kind of virus. Right? It says viruses are made, it destroys the integrity of RNA that viruses are made of, so it renders the viruses dead. I don't think you want to be standing around while this thing next to it, while it's going bang, 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 and you know, emitting ultraviolet radiation. It's probably at a particular frequency and high strength and whatever. But nevertheless, you know, so at least it's interesting to me that there might be a relatively inexpensive and safe sanitary means of suppressing Ebola. And what does that mean, Melody? It means we won't use that.
No money.
We're going to use vaccines that we can patent and make a good dollar off of, Melody. Because although Ebola is a serious crisis, it's not so serious that it can get in the way of making more money, more money, more money, ooh, more money, more money, more money, ooh.
Oh. All right, now.
Uh-huh. What else, Melody?
You want to sing that right into our break?
Yeah,
it's going to be one of those days.
I guess we'd better do it. Otherwise, you know how Frank is. Don't start him up on dragging this program out beyond the time. Oh, we're a minute late already. Frank, he starts pulling his
hair. All right, Al.
All right, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedar, Sermon Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Who
prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Okay, we got a caller, Dave from Michigan. Let's see if Dave can make sense of any of the events that are taking place in the world today.
Hi, Al.
Dave,
Alfred.
Are you able to make sense of all of this, or are you kind of mystified or amazed?
I'll give you the Detroit report. You know, it's Detroit. It's got to be true. A person from the United Nations has been in Detroit for the last 3 days, and they was on the issue of the water. There's $85 million in past bills that haven't been paid. And this lady, foreign speaking, sounds like she's from Switzerland maybe. She said that people that can pay for it should make up the difference, that factories should pay more. Well, of course, they just pass that on to the consumer. And people with swimming pools, she targeted people with swimming pools, should pay more for water. So that's the UN's answer to the problem
more
in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and maybe they could get the same people that are going to subsidize the Ukraine to also subsidize Detroit. I mean, somebody's going to help Ukraine pay for its natural gas, then those same people might be able to throw in 50 or 100 million to subsidize Detroit's water.
Well, they were talking, the UN was supposedly to come to Detroit months ago. And so they're there now.
Yeah, they've been in the town about the last 3 days. And a lady working for the Detroit Water Department, you know, she's African American. She says they've just ignored everything we've told them, and they're just here to make an issue at kind of, you know, get the people yay yay. And I always say that, you know, turn off your cable TV, put your government paid for cheese back in the refrigerator, get in your Escalade, drive down to the Detroit River, and go get your own water if you don't want to pay your bill.
Yeah.
They're giving car loans again to people in subprime, you know, and that's going to be another disaster. But this wiring thing, the Detroit lighting system used to take care of the schools and Detroit public buildings. And it's so antiquated that Detroit Edison is going to take that over. But speaking of money for wire, earlier this year they showed in a section of I-94 Interstate near Cadieux, that's in Detroit, they had a crew with trucks and flashing lights and barricades and guys wearing jackets. And they stripped out miles of brand new wiring for the expressway that was just put in. And they were scrappers. And they got away. They don't know who these people were. Everybody's seen these guys out there working. Oh, it must be legit. Nobody stopped them. Nobody asked them enough with the wire. But in another issue, Detroit...
It sounds like they were working hard, though. Were they working hard and working fast? That should have aroused some people's suspicion right away. You say, those people aren't just standing around. They're actually working. What the hell are they up to?
Behind the bulldozer, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's where you had to know it wasn't real. See, they're busting it. But anyway, mm-hmm. They had another deal now where Detroit has been mandated to pay $35 million already to cut down curbs in neighborhoods where there's no more homes for handicapped. And they have another $85 million that they're going to have to pay to finish up doing all these corner curbs for the few people that are using the wheelchairs. Just like the bus system, they were making them put handicap lifts on all the buses, the SEMTA buses in Detroit. Well, why don't you send a cab bus? It's cheaper than putting all these lifts on all these buses. And now we just had an increase in our taxes to pay for the bus system. And they're not just going to improve it. They're getting all brand new buses. I wonder who got that contract. And when I watch in my area the buses coming up from Detroit at night, they're empty. They might have 2-3 people on this huge bus. And we're paying for that system. So,
well, it may be a place for the homeless to sleep at night. They can just kind of get on and get a bus ticket, and it's cheaper than getting a room at Motel 6 or whatever.
That's
get yourself
idea.
A ticket on the bus and drive around town.
So, you know, it just seemed that all this money is being wasted. And, you know, fixing the buses, they had brand-new ambulances brought to Detroit. They were donated. And brand-new Diamond Rio ambulances. And right away there was like 4 of them. They had bed bugs in them, and they couldn't sanitize 3 or 4 of them because the doors were already jammed. They couldn't get them open to even sanitize them. This is how they take care of things in Detroit. The maintenance is on anything is deplorable. So their answer is, well, buy us a new one. And so and the buses, even in Detroit, have been known for having bed bugs. So
well, this is consistent
them, right?
With my theory. This is consistent with my theory that they're using them for as a mobile motel for the homeless people. At night, they just ride around, sleep on the benches, and they just leave some bed bugs behind as their calling cards.
And one
what
thing
else,
more
Dave?
About this. What's that?
Oh, I was just wondering what else you got from Detroit.
Oh, one woman was saying last week that they were saying about this water situation. And she looked pretty well dressed up. She says, I'm not fighting for myself. I'm fighting for the next generation. Well, don't they have any hope of ever being any better than what they've got now?
In other words, she's fighting for the Muslims.
Well, I don't know. That's Dearborn. That's another story.
Oh, Dearborn? All right. Fighting for the next generation of Dearborn of Muslims. And we've got to make sure that the Muslims have adequate water supplies when they move into these communities.
I had a friend whose son was in the military, and this terrorist that was in jail that said to him, I know where you live. I've got friends in Dearborn. But yet, when every time somebody says Dearborn's a terrorist, oh, no, not us. We're in a friendly city. So yeah. Take it from there. But anyway,
I understand.
That's what's going on in Detroit. Same, you know, new day, same old stuff.
Yeah, no, no business like show business, with the possible exception of politics, which is like showbiz on drugs and booze at the same time.
Oh, one other thing. I left out of my old neighborhood 35 years ago, but till 25 years ago, it was still a beautiful neighborhood. Two doors down from where I lived, it was on national TV. A guy was selling his house for an iPod. Did you see that on TV?
No.
It was right lying in Britain in Detroit, okay? And this house used to be a real nice house, and it got stripped. Of course, no windows, anything with metal, it's gone. And the guy owes back taxes, but he says, you give me the latest iPod, and you've got the house. And there was all of a sudden all kinds of bid. This guy was from Australia, somehow wound up with the house. And it's just a shame to see that neighborhood, which 25 years ago, manicured lawns, and our house has had a fire in it two, three times now. The fence, the cyclone's been taken off the fence, and it's just pathetic.
What do you think is the future? 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Is there going to be a turnaround in Detroit, or will it remain pretty much as is?
I think it's going to go up in utter chaos. I think that the people in the burbs are going to say that this is enough, because now even Harper Woods, which is a really nice little community, is so bad. There's a huge shopping mall, one of the second or third big ones, put in Michigan in 1957. They may close the whole shopping center because the crime is so bad. And, you know,
and you're not Harper just Woods, talking about nighttime crime, are you?
No, daytime shootings, drive-bys right at the shopping center.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got a lady I know. She's 75 years old, and she went shopping here in Dallas back last week, and she got mugged by some purse snatcher at night out in the parking lot outside of, I don't know if it was a Walmart or not. She was out there, but she had a can of the spray, pepper spray, and she had that in her hand.
Yeah,
she was allegedly ready for this problem, but a kid came up and grabbed the purse, and she really wasn't ready, and she's 75 years old or thereabouts, and she actually ran after this kid, right, trying to catch him. She had $45 in her purse and her driver's license and something else. I don't remember what else. She ran. I don't know what she thought she was going to do when she caught him, but here's a 75-year-old woman chasing after a purse snatcher. She fell down and hurt herself, and she's all right now, but it's just another sign of the times.
Well, one last thing. At the University of Oakland, which is in Oakland County, an 18-year-old girl was walking at the university, and she got so hit so hard that she went down and had a concussion, and all she's seen running away was a guy in a hoodie. So, whatever.
Yeah.
But actually,
I understand.
It's the knockdown game.
Knockout game. Yeah, I understand that.
Can you be ready for
that? It's another one of these things. Just out of curiosity, was this girl white or black?
She's white.
Yeah, and the guy in the hoodie.
We don't know, but you figure it.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, what this is hate crime, and we see it happen. We hear reports on it, and it's evidence of cowardice besides that. These idiots, these are the same people who are going to come around begging for welfare. And I don't think they understand what's happening. They are alienating a generation of white Americans. And the day is coming when they're going to sit back and say, oh, give us some more money. We're black. We're poor. Ah, bunk. There's a problem here that's enormous, and it has to be addressed and faced one of these days. And it's everybody wants to pussyfoot around. Let's not talk about it and blah, blah, blah. This is going to get talked about before this is all over. There's a problem here that needs to be addressed and stopped. And what needs to be done is everybody who's convicted playing this knockout game, bury their butts in a slammer. All right, put him away for 20 years. And they say, oh, he's a good boy. No, he's a thug. He's a damn thug. That's all he is. Throw his ass away. Throw him in the slammer. put him away for 20 years minimum, maybe even charge him with, who knows, hate crimes. Charge him with a hate crime. If there's any interracial, if it's interracial, charge him with hate crimes. Do it every single time until they understand. Play the knockout game, and you're going bye-bye. We aren't going to catch all of you, but we get some of you. And you are going to have, you can play the knockout game and the slammer.
Well, we had a high school football player who's black, and he threw a guard on the floor at where he was at, I think, Cass Tech, and knocked the guard right out, flipped him right in the air. Somebody had it under camera. So he's in and out of jail, and they finally get him off. And the first day it's on camera, he assaults his girlfriend. You know, didn't learn anything. And so they had this special program where you will help you out. Well, he got off again. So I'm just waiting for the next time they have him on TV where he's killed somebody.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it does happen to all races. It's just not a black issue. It's not a black issue. It's a white
issue, primarily.
Oh, I've seen some pretty horrendous crimes committed. So I think the culture in itself, I think our society, it's a sign of decay. And I think it's going to you're going to continue to see it increase on both sides, because we're people are being placed in a position that there isn't anything to do. And idle, you know what happens
to do
with
but
idle
punch
hands?
People in the back of the head?
I've seen
anything to do, Mel. I think I'll go out and mug somebody.
No. They don't have anything.
Let me say one last thing here, okay? I've seen a bumper sticker that says the best way to get on your feet is to get off your ass.
Yeah, I understand. The world will change.
With that, I'll let you go. You have a good one.
Alrighty, thanks, Dave.
All right, Dave, thank you.
Hopefully we get gold at 2,000 shortly.
Where are we? Here's something from McDonald's. Tough U.S. rivalries. China food scandal pound McDonald's, meaning McDonald's restaurants, of course. McDonald Corp, which has not given investors many reasons to sing the fast food chain's I'm loving it jingle, on Tuesday said quarterly profits dropped by nearly one-third and warned that global restaurant sales will fall again in October. McDonald's net income slid 30% to $1.07 billion, or a little over a dollar per share for the quarter that ended September 30th. Sales at restaurants open at least 13 months, a closely watched gauge of performance, fell a steeper than expected 3.3% in the United States, yada, yada. McDonald's taken a hit. Do you think that's important? Does it indicate something, or is it just a little anomaly, Melody?
Well, I mean, I think it's a sign of the times, and you know, it's the leaf and the breeze, and I think it's a sign to show that. And sometimes you can even take it a little bit step further to is there something going on, you know, within McDonald's? You know, we talked about the meats no longer have to require labels, and where the meat is being generated from and what country and, you know, what were these animals fed and so forth. So, it's a sign of the time.
You can have mystery burgers before this is all over, where we won't know for sure. A quarter pound mystery plus fries. The fries will definitely be made from potatoes, we think. The hamburgers, we don't know what they're going to be made of,
but
it'll be some kind of meat.
I think a lot of McDonald's, their income actually comes from Europe. We reported that just like 40%.
They're multinational.
40% of their business comes from Europe, which I found very surprising. But
at McDonald's, we do it all for cash. Let's take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Let's talk about the Rodney Dangerfield of American politics. And who would that be? Well, here's something from John Bolton. This is in the Washington Times. John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations. He recently said President Obama's weakness on the world stage is only opening the door for Russia's President Vladimir Putin to continue his aggression, something that's going to create a dangerous scene for America and Europe in the coming 2 years. And what he means is the remainder of President Obama's term in office as President of the United States. Bolton said, we're in for a dangerous time in Europe for the next couple of years, and yet the president doesn't seem to pay attention anymore. Now, that's an interesting statement, and it's the kind of thing that's subjective. We can't say, is the president, is he paying attention, is he not paying attention? But Bolton, being former ambassador to the United Nations, and at least someone who's mentioned from time to time as a possible contender for the presidency in 2016. This guy has information. Politics is his life. He's aware of what's going on to a level that we aren't. He lives this on a regular basis. So when he says the president doesn't seem to pay attention anymore, maybe he's telling the truth. Now, I'm not saying that's absolutely true, but I think it might be. And it makes me wonder, why doesn't Obama pay attention anymore? Let's assume it's true. And I think the answer might be because he's screwed up just about everything he's touched. And the American people's high disapproval ratings are weighing heavily on him. He's had over 2 years. He has over 2 years left to go in office, and I suspect that he's beginning to view those 2 years less as a blessing than as a prison sentence. I don't think it's fun for him to be in the White House right now. Obama is caught in one of the toughest prisons in the federal penitentiary system, the White House. I don't think he's tough enough or smart enough to make it in that joint. I don't think he's tough enough to make it with his cellmate, Michelle. I don't think she likes being there either. And I'll bet she does not make his life, you know, he says, well, I'm finally done with all those crazy people. I can go home to my spouse and everything. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that's a happy transition for President Obama. And if it's true that he's not necessarily, you know, that everything's not copacetic with his cellmate, Michelle, There's no place for Obama to hide beside the golf course, and even there he can't escape the paparazzi. I think he's resigned to do his time in the Oval Office. But once he gets out, I think all we'll hear is free at last, as he runs down the road and disappears, just like George W. Bush. Here's the next article. Obama makes rare campaign trail appearance. People leave early. Right? You've probably all seen this report, but with approval levels hovering around record lows, Obama spent most of his campaign-related efforts this year raising money for struggling Democrats who risk losing control of the Senate in the November 4th midterm elections. Most candidates from his party have been wary of appearing with Obama during their election races because of Obama's sagging popularity. President Obama made a rare appearance on the campaign trail Sunday with a rally to support the Democratic candidate for governor in Maryland, but early departures of crowd members while he spoke underscored his continuing unpopularity. Now, I've been around for a while, all right? But I can't recall ever before hearing of a president who was speaking in a public forum where the audience was composed primarily of his own party. Remember, this is a political campaign rally for a Democratic candidate for governor. And again, when was the last time you heard of a president addressing a group of his own political party where some significant number said, "We're out of here," packed up and walked out? Obama really is the Rodney Dangerfield of American politics. He gets no respect, and rightfully so. He's an embarrassment to just about everyone. Here's another example. This is from The Hill. The headline is, "Obama, Dem candidates avoiding me have supported my agenda." This is so bizarre. President Obama delivered a blow the Democratic Senate candidates looking to distance themselves from his flagging approval ratings Monday, saying lawmakers avoiding him on the campaign trail were strong allies and supporters who have supported my agenda in Congress. That's Obama speaking. The bottom line is, these all are folks who vote with me. They have supported my agenda in Congress, and he went on. Now, we got people who are fighting to get reelected, Democrats, and they understand that Obama is not an asset. And nevertheless, Obama's, "All these people, they're trying to stay away from me, but they support me." How stupid is that? Democrats want to distance themselves from Obama, but he publicizes their loyalty to him and his policies. He publicizes their association. I'll bet that by claiming these Democrat candidates were really Obama supporters, he's just cost them another 2 or 3% of the vote. That's not just stupidity. I think it's vanity. I think Obama refuses to admit that he's such a colossal incompetent that even Democrats try to avoid him. Instead, he seems to claim that even people who despise him actually love him. That's the implication of some of his complaints. Here's another one from the New York Times. Black vote seen as last hope for Democrats to hold Senate. The confidential memo from a former pollster for President Obama contained a blunt warning for Democrats. Written this month with an eye toward Election Day, it predicted a crushing Democrat losses across the country if the party did not do more to get black voters to the polls. African-American surge voters came out in force in 2008 and 2012, but they are not well positioned to do so again in 2014. This according to Cornell Belcher, the pollster, wrote in the memo. In fact, over half aren't even sure when the midterm elections are taking place. Okay? Well, it'll be in the next couple of months. Just, you know, hang around. You'll get a chance to vote. Listen, good luck with getting a strong black turnout. Good luck to the Democrats. Think you're going to get a strong black turnout? I don't think so. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that even a significant percentage of blacks are mad at Obama for encouraging an invasion by illegal aliens who are taking jobs that might otherwise have gone to blacks. They're looking at him and say, "What the heck is this guy doing? He allows the illegals to pour into this country. They're taking black jobs before they get to white jobs." And they're angry about this.
You know, President Obama really is an extraordinary candidate. I can't remember anything like it before. He's managed to alienate Republicans, of course. He's managed to alienate the American people. He's done a good job of that. 60% or more don't like what he's doing. He's managed to alienate Democrats, his own party. All right, they don't want him around. And now he's even managed to alienate blacks. I wouldn't have thought that was possible. How can it be a man in politics who's managed to alienate virtually every major political group and the American people? And he's been elected twice to the presidency. How is that possible? How can that happen? My opinion, the answer is Republican assistance. Republicans insisted on running a proven loser, John McCain, 2008, and another proven loser, Mitt Romney, in 2012. And, of course, they lost. All right? Obama won. As an aside, when Obama is finally removed from office, I think the whole nation will breathe a sigh of relief and, for the most part, say, thank God he's gone. Incidentally, I'm looking forward to 2016, when I expect the Republicans to again run the proven loser, Mitt Romney, and the Democrats to run a proven buffoon, Joe Biden. It should be an election contest for the ages and for Saturday Night Live. We're going to get some great comedy out of the 2016 election. I think Hillary's finished. I think she's fallen in love with her first grandchild. Her daughter, Chelsea, gave birth in the last month or 6 weeks. And I've seen a picture of Hillary holding the baby. And I saw that picture, and it looked to me like Hillary thought, oh, my God, this is the best thing she's ever seen.
Really?
I think Hillary wants to be a doting grandmother.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. I'm serious. I think Chelsea's new baby girl has ended Hillary's dream of running for president. I think she's gonna allow her. So she may go through the motions a little bit, but I think she's lost her enthusiasm. I think she wants to be a grandma.
I said for a very long time Hillary was not going to run in 2016. She's got way too much baggage behind her, and there's no way that she would run or be elected. I think her power is going to come from supporting the next Democrat nominee. That's where her strength is going to come from. That's what she's primed to do, and to get the next Democrat
that may be
elected.
The way it's working out,
but
right
I don't
this
think
minute.
I mean this was I mean she was out of it even before the grandchild came along.
No,
and
I don't
then
think
you have to ask
that
yourself,
may be true that
do you really believe Hillary Clinton even has the ability to, well,
if they,
I mean,
can
when
elect
you look
Obama,
at her history,
they can elect anybody.
I mean, if you
if
look at her history.
If they can elect Obama, they can elect anybody, Melody. But what I'd say is this. It may be true that Hillary hasn't had a real chance. Maybe that's been true all along.
Gosh.
But she hasn't believed that.
She
and I saw
get
her
the health care.
And
she
Bill
do anything
and
either.
Chelsea. I saw her and her daughter and Bill Clinton on some talk show back, maybe 90 days, 4 months ago. Maybe even five. But I saw the three of them there, and they were all just grinning. They were just beaming. They were talking about the possibility that Hillary was going to run for president, and they would not say she was going to do it, but I could see Bill Clinton was just, he was lit up like a light bulb. Chelsea was lit up like a light bulb, and Hillary was lit up by a light bulb, like a light bulb. They believed at that time she was going to make a run for it, and they were excited about it. They weren't announcing it. They're talking about it, but just grinning. We're not going to say, but everybody could see looking at them. I believe 4 or 5 months ago, she was going for it. Today, I don't think she is.
Well, let me ask you a question. Can a person who can make a statement like it doesn't matter anymore? In reference to Benghazi, do you think these people have a lot of hearts?
It depends on Republicans.
I mean, if you look at their history, let's go way back to Arkansas and everything that these people have done. You think they actually have the ability to have a heart to turn down politics for a grandchild? I don't think so.
Yes.
No.
I think she's been living. I saw
oh my
the look
God.
On her face when she was holding that baby, and I thought she was fixated. And
yeah,
she,
and I also remember a time when I believe it was Ron Brown's funeral, and they're standing around, and the camera was on Bill Clinton, and he's standing around there laughing and joking. He realizes the camera's on him, and all of a sudden he produces a tear.
Yeah, I understand.
You know.
I understand that, but I'm telling you, I think I saw something real with Hillary, and I think she's bailing. I think her heart isn't really in it. She was ready to go before the baby was born. She was ready to take her shot.
Yeah.
But I think right now she's ready to change some diapers.
You cannot become elected when you have Americans killed and someone says, what difference does it make?
And you cannot become elected if you're born in a foreign country either. Right, you can't become elected if you're born in Kenya. But guess what? Right, things have been happening in American politics that are irrational, inexplicable.
Man.
And if the Republicans run another moron, anybody in the Democratic Party can get elected. All right, this will depend in large measure. If the Republicans want to win in 2016, they're going to have to find someone to run for office who's probably from the Tea Party side of the Republican Party, and the Republicans won't like that a bit. The establishment will hate it, and they'll want to run Mitt Romney or someone like him. And if they do, I don't know who we're going to elect. We may get a lesbian like we have down in Houston who recently demanded that all the ministers deliver their sermons. They want to review the sermons before they let them speak to the congregations on Sundays. It was just stupid. They didn't want anything critical of lesbians and gays and so on. And they demanded, they wanted the right to censor the ministers down there in Houston. It's just crazy. But if the Republicans run people that are dumb enough, if they insist on running mainstream Republicans and establishment Republicans, we're going to see more crazy people elected as Democrats. And it'll happen thanks to our Republican Party. Right? Somewhere along the line, there's going to have to be a change in the Republican Party before we are actually going to be able to take control of the Democrat Party. And I, you know, what are you going to do? Sit back, shake your head, make sure you get good neck exercises so you don't get a kink from shaking your head, and stay interested because we live in interesting times. I'm Alfred Addisk. We're out of time. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
Bless you, bless you.